This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Rindel, and that's Benjamin R. Higgins. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Are you nervous?
Once again, like Will Smith, my big mouth has gotten me in trouble. No, I'm not nervous.
Now you think, okay, so you think that I've been looking forward to this all weekend. I don't.
I forgot about it.
I have empathy and sympathy for you. So Woodsy on Friday, I don't know why. I don't even understand the concept here.
You said something about a sweep, and I said the sweep would be.
I said, hey, you get one out of three. You've gone 3-3 this week. It's not the worst result. You take two out of three. What a fantastic week it was for the San Diego Padres. You've gotten back to 500, and then a sweep would just be beyond. Beyond the pale, beyond imagination.
And my big mouth, like, oh, if they sweep this team, I will eat a handful of jelly beans. I should have just shut up there.
Not just any jelly beans. If you are unfamiliar with the concept of the
Bean Boozled.
Bean Boozled. They are it's a game where you spin the wheel and you pick the color of jelly bean. And one of the jelly beans is the normal, yummy, regular flavored jelly bean. The other color is gross.
So
it's disgusting.
It's either Tutti Frutti or Stinky Socks. It's either peach or barf. It's either birthday cake or dirty dishwater. It's either Berry Blue or toothpaste. It's either strawberry banana smoothie or dead fish.
Oh, I got that one.
It was either juicy pear or booger. It was either buttered popcorn or rotten egg, toasted marshmallow, stink bug, pomegranate, old bandage, cappuccino, or liver and onions.
When you brought this out, and this was your kids, and you brought it to us, I was under the mistaken impression that they're not going to torture children. It's going to be mildly,
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortably gross. When we actually did it, and I got the dead fish, it was maybe the worst tasting thing I've ever put in my mouth in my life, and I almost vomited.
It just lingers in your taste buds for hours.
Paul and I are being tortured. This is the smell that comes off when you opened it.
It's nasty, dude.
It's pretty nasty to begin with. And I don't know why. You were off the hook. They did not sweep the Dodgers.
I said, hell, two out of three.
Then you threw that in,
idiot.
Like some sort of...
Just an idiot.
Some sort of aside that really, there's a big difference between
a sweep
and two out of three.
If the Padres play this weekend, I'll do it. Oh, man.
Yeah, Christopher, buddy Chris, reminded me of it last night, and I went, oh, yeah.
I'm worried that you're going to be incapable of finishing the show after
doing
this.
I'm
going to
use the old mind over matter, and just, it's just jelly beans.
They are. They're not designed to harm you.
I've put a lot worse stuff in my body. A lot. Ever eat mushrooms? Ugh. All right.
Yeah, not easy.
Like, I mean,
is that
plenty.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Paulie?
That's a handful.
Okay, I'm going to show
you. That's about, what, 12 there?
At least.
Yeah, it's at least a dozen.
I'll go with that.
There's no way you could possibly get so lucky. It would be like winning the lotto.
This, if you got no bad ones.
If there were no bad ones, that would be like you wasted your Powerball ticket on this if there are no bad ones. So let's focus in. Turn the camera on Woods. Here we go. Time for Bean Boozled Promise on a Monday.
Would you rather, like, all at once? Is that better than one at a time?
I'm going all at once. I'm going all at once. I said
you didn't say you didn't say you had to do them all at once. You just said you'd eat a handful.
Who would want
to you?
Who would shoot me in the head or death by 1,000 paper cuts? Just shoot me in the head.
They're sticky though. They're hard to get out of your mouth, and you'll just have it in there for like the entire next segment. Good luck. Oh, there they go. All right, he's chewing.
Oh God.
Just an amalgam of all the all the worst flavors, and he is stomping. He is chewing. He is he is retching a little bit. He's still chewing. There's no way you can get these down in less than 30-40 seconds at least. I mean, you're gonna choke if you don't chew them enough. He's holding his nose now. Chew.
He thinks that's gonna do anything.
I can't get them so stale.
They're not fresh. Yeah, we've had him in the studio for at least 3 months now. He's still chewing. He's shaking. He's quivering. His eyes are closed. He's heaving a little bit. He's trying to breathe through it. Now looking, he's reaching for the water. Fine, you've definitely trying to get now the last remnants of them. Now, got a buck.
He's gonna.
I don't want to see this on camera.
Can I spit? No, probably.
No,
not,
you
right?
Gotta swallow.
Get him down. Get some water.
Spitters
in there.
Are quitters, Woodsy.
The problem is the water kind of swirls it around.
Just up. I almost just said a bad word.
Okay. Okay.
You've almost said a couple of bad words.
He looks green, and Paulie doesn't even have the filter on right now. This is not Boomer filter. This is just Woods turning green. The water is now going down. It's spilling all over his chest. He still can't, but it doesn't get out of your teeth. It's still there.
Can you identify any of the flavors?
He is under the table. Ugh.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, God. I love you, Padres. I really do.
He does love the Padres.
Oh, God.
His love surpasses that of the rest of us to do that. All right.
That's no joke, dude. That is no joke.
What flavors do you think
Shut
you
up.
Got?
Did you recognize anything in there?
Stinky socks?
What did you think you
You're looked, right.
You
it
like
doesn't
noticed?
Leave your mouth.
No.
It doesn't. It does. You've never had a bad one.
Never.
I don't think we pointed that out.
God.
He's spun a couple of times.
We've
He's
all
always
spun
gotten
it.
The good one.
Yep.
And I've never gotten the good one, I think. But you've always gotten the good one. And now you probably ate at least 7 or 8 bad ones in that handful.
Bro, that was... It's still there.
It doesn't go away.
Definitely dirty sock. Definitely. Dishwater, I think, was one. Is that one?
Yeah, I think dirty dishwater is definitely one of them.
Old bandage. 1,000.
I got that one.
I 100%.
That was bad.
All
that was
I
bad.
Taste is old
bandage. How do you know what that tastes like?
No, yeah, you do, because the smell. Smell is really what carries most of the flavor.
It tastes like the smell.
It tastes like the smell. Your brain knows. Your brain absolutely knows what it's eating.
No.
That's the diabolical genius of these. Like, why would you ever know what any of these things taste
right.
like? But you instantly
you
know
instantly
what they
know.
Are when you taste them. Like, you've eaten them before. Oh, yes. I've eaten so many old bandages in my life that I know what it tastes like. But there's no mistaking what it is. The scientists, the chemists who have come up with whatever the flavor is, they're evil geniuses because they have nailed every flavor in it's just putrid wretchedness.
It's
every single time.
It's on my tongue and it's in the meat is in. They're so stale too. That's the other. They've been here since got them in December,
that's right, which makes them harder
they're
to
so
chew.
So stale. So I was like, just go down. Just I can do this. I can do this. And then once I swallowed a little bit of liquid. It was over. And then if you smell...
It activates it.
If you smell what's in your mouth, you're done. So the pinching my nose actually helped for a second. Oh, dude. How did you guys not vomit? If somebody was retching,
I almost did on Dirty Fish. I was very close.
I need anything.
It was worse like several minutes after I was done with the jelly bean because it's that taste that just lingers on your teeth or your tongue.
It is
disgusting.
It is all up in my teeth right now. I'm never doing that punishment again.
So, well, I was just going to say, Padres Milwaukee Brewers.
Here we go.
Series on the road against a good team here, Woods.
Everyone in the chat was really wanting me to just hurl everywhere. Oh, that was gross, dude.
The Padres don't have a lot of success at Miller Park or American Family Field. Would you in a row here?
No.
Miley says you need mouthwash. Well, that was one of the flavors, I think, was toothpaste. So that was, already had some of that in there, I'm sure.
I feel like I didn't get the rotten fish one, which is a dub. Out of literally, there's probably, I should have counted them. I did. There's probably 12, 13 beans there. And I just, the bandage is, I feel like I just took a Band-Aid off my knee and am chewing on it. That's what I taste like right now. Like, I got a scab.
Yes, that's exactly what it tastes like.
Bro, yes. That's all I taste is bandage. Old bandage. Woo! All right. Well, listen. If they win the World Series, I'll do it again. But other than that, I'm not doing that bet again. Jesus. Oh, no, they're sitting in a diaper.
You know what? We need a contestant for Take on Woods. Why don't you, if you want to call in now, 833-288-0973, we'll let Woods do whatever he needs to recover over the next couple of minutes. And we will play here as soon as someone gives us a call. A chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Only had a couple of qualifiers so far this month for a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and two tickets to Kool and the Gang, backed by popular demand after multiple sold-out shows. They've got a residency through 2024. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million of room renovation. We put this off from last hour, but it's an opportunity for the late risers to have a chance to play Take on Woods here and join us for our musical trivia challenge. 833-288-0973. Still have Don't Do This to get to Sammy. In-season Sammy is going to join us at 835. He was up in Los Angeles for the entire series doing his pre- and post-game shows from Dodger Stadium, so he'll give us a flavor of what it felt like to be there as the Padres took 2-3 from the Los Angeles Dodgers. But let's get to it. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Take on Woods. Woods.
All right, Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. John, thank you for calling in. You are our contestant today. Good morning.
Good morning. I figured if this was the morning to take down Woods.
Yeah, probably smart. He's probably not in the best frame of mind right now. Here are your categories. We've got Back to School, songs featuring school subjects, royal titles. Those are song titles and artists that include a British royal title in their name. And our new category, Going Up, five song titles that all begin with up. All right, Back to School, royal titles, or Going Up, John. What are you going to play?
We're going Back to School songs.
Back to School songs. All right, questions are all about songs featuring school subjects. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it. First question is the two-second song. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that point. We'll let Paulie cue it up, and then Woods will come in and see if he's recovered from his being boozled, and he'll go head-to-head against you. If you beat or tie him, we'll put you into the drawing for Las Vegas. John, are you ready to go?
Do it.
All right, Paulie, you good to go?
Seconds.
He's getting... calling up and queuing up our two-second song again. It is Back to School is the category, and the songs all featuring school subjects.
I cannot get my computer to work right
now. He cannot get his computer to work right now, which makes it hard to play the two-second song.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, he is ready. John, 60 seconds on the clock. Category Back to School. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods. Which new wave band recorded hits including 1982's I Melt With You?
Oh, God. Can't think of it past.
Ben E. King wrote and sang a 1961 song about a rose in which New York City neighborhood?
Brooklyn?
Incorrect. Which avant-garde English synth pop group won a 1986 Grammy for their reworking of the theme song to the TV show Peter Gunn? Sam Cooke admits he don't know much about history, biology, trigonometry, and other subjects in which 1960 classic.
Gosh,
man. Go back to our 2 second song. Which new wave band recorded hits including 1982's I Melt With You?
Modern English?
Yes! Oh, he sneaks one in. He can't win without one, probably, which means he got the one, Modern English. The 2 second song was She Blinded Me With Science by Thomas Dolby. Spanish Harlem is the Benny King song, A Rose in Spanish Harlem. The Art of Noise, that's the Peter Gunn thing, Grammy winners. And Wonderful World is the name of the Sam Cooke song. Let's bring Woods in. Don't know that it's going to do it. This is a tough category, no doubt about it. Hang on the line there, John. All right, how are you doing? Woods is back. No worse for wear? No, he's not doing better. Well. He's not doing well.
I have some gum.
John thought perhaps this would be the day to take you down.
This is as good as day as anybody.
We'll see if that's true or not.
Good Lord.
Can you play it before you find your gum? Or
no,
do you want to
play it as I'm finding my gum.
All right, 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music.
You guys just don't keep loose gum floating around in your backpack?
No.
Doesn't sound much better than a jelly bean
right
now.
The thing fell out, and so there's just gum at the bottom of my backpack. I didn't see it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on John.
That is Science by Thomas Dolby.
I need more.
She Blinded Me With Science.
Correct. Which new wave band recorded hits including 1982's I Melt With You?
Modern English.
Correct. Benny King wrote and sang a 1961 song about a rose in which neighborhood of New York City?
Brooklyn.
Incorrect. Which avant-garde English synth pop group won a 1986 Grammy for their reworking of the theme song to the TV show Peter Gunn?
Pass.
Sam Cooke admits he don't know much about history, biology, trigonometry, and other subjects in which 1960 classic? You can sing it.
What a Wonderful World.
Correct. Let's go back to which avant-garde English synth-pop group won a 1986 Grammy for their reworking of the theme song to the TV show Peter Gunn?
That's a tough one. Kraftwerk.
It's the Art of Noise is what they're called. There's school subjects. She Blinded Me With Science, Modern English, Spanish Harlem.
Oh, Spanish
Harlem. The Art of Noise, and that song is called Wonderful World, which you got in the end by Sam Cooke. But you went 3-1
Good.
In a tough category.
Jeez.
Over John today, even under the lingering after effects of the nasty jelly beans. Woods comes through with a Monday victory.
It's like it's growing in my mouth. Like the taste continues to grow, and I try to mask it, and it only gives it more strength.
Reinvigorates.
Yeah,
it comes back.
Like, hey, oh yeah, I am still here. Thanks for the juice. It's like putting gas in your car. Like it's now running better. And by better, I mean way worse.
All right, we have Don't Do This coming up next. I have a funny Do This from the end of the basketball season that I wanted to bring up from yesterday.
I can't wait.
And there's Sam Cooke for you. All right, we'll be right back with more Ben and Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Little cultural barrier here. Our beloved Welsh friar, who's in Wales. He's a big Padres fan. We've had him on the show before. He thinks that I'm eating, like, do they not have jelly beans? Does he know? Because he's like,
no, he's just telling you, try their traditional breakfast dish of beans on toast.
Right, but he also said, well, it's got to be the UK variation of things. Our beans, sausages, and bacon are different from the US. Welsh fryer, I would eat beans on toast any time, but eating beans that taste like doo-doo and booger and fish and bandages is different.
I promise you, they have jelly beans in the UK.
I don't think they do.
I think they have jelly beans.
I don't think they do. They eat weird crisps and things. Like weird.
They may have a different name for them. That's true.
Like, well, so in the chat, what do you guys call jelly beans over
so,
there?
So cookies are biscuits.
Biscuits. But
crisps are chips, right?
Correct.
And then
okay, he says, I know jelly beans. Yeah. I've done bean boozles. All right, I was confused.
All right. We've got in-season Sammy joining us in our next segment. He was up in L.A. for the entire series. First, though, Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Some even have beans in them. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. The Kraft Taco. com. My first one's kind of a dual don't do this. First of all, for baseball. And Woods, you've made the point before. Fix the balls. Before you, I mean, you're trying to worry about the pitching injuries. The inconsistency, the difficulty in getting a grip on the baseballs continues to be an issue. Kenley Jansen's the latest to complain about it. He says after he came in on Saturday night, or Sunday, actually, and he gave up a single, a hit batsman, and a single, and a sacrifice fly. And the Angels actually did not come all the way back and win. The Red Sox won 5-4. But he said, I don't hit guys. I don't walk people this much. I'm starting to get frustrated. Any balls that came, I just throw it back until I find a good ball. It's just brutal. It's embarrassing. I've been playing a while in this league, and from the beginning of my career until now, it's getting worse. It's been an issue the whole year. He's probably right. I don't love the optics of having a bad outing and then just complaining about the baseballs. I mean, everybody is using them. All the pitchers are using those baseballs. It's not just you, Kenley. So it's a don't do this. Baseball has a baseball issue, but also relief pitchers who come in and give up some runs probably shouldn't just go straight to the it's the baseball's fault right after they're done. The
baseballs are crap.
They are crap, though.
It's a tough one because I kind of agree with
that. Well, I said it's a dual don't do
this. It's a dual. Zach Johnson played in the Masters this weekend, did not make the cut. He's quickly becoming, I think, one of the more unlikable guys, at least from his, like, what we know of him. Probably a great guy, probably a great dad, great husband, whatever. What we see of Zach Johnson, you go, come on. Remember when he chewed out the fans at the Waste Management Open, right? Walked up to them, was screaming at them on the side.
The partying fans.
The partying fans.
Maybe they were getting a little out of hand. I mean, that tournament's known for it.
Welcome to the Waste Management Open, right? You go to Mardi Gras, and you're not leaning out your window going, can you guys quiet down out there?
But what's the opposite of the Waste Management Open in golf?
The Masters.
The Masters.
The Masters, right? So it's
the most decorum you're ever going to find at a sporting event, probably, at the Masters.
From fans and players.
Right.
So this was fascinating to me. So he's playing. makes a triple bogey and ended up missing the cut, but he makes a triple bogey, Ben, on the par 3 12th hole.
Golden Bell.
Thank you. So he, like, three putts for the triple. And after he's done, patrons kind of, hey, like, almost kind of a sarcastic Bronx cheer, like, hey, look at you.
They give polite applause to everybody no matter what score they make.
My man stops down and goes, oh, F off, and loud, like on a hot mic, the whole thing. And so after the round is over, the guys go up to him, the media, and they're like, hey, bro, do you want to clear this up right now? Here's what he said.
Understand the situation at all. What are they saying that I did or said or...
It's being reported that you swore at some of the patrons.
That I swore at the patrons. That's laughable. That's completely laughable. I can't hear the patrons.
Right.
Number one. Number two, I just made a triple bogey on the 12th hole that evidently is going to make me miss the cut, which at the time I kind of knew was pretty sensitive in the sense that I needed to keep making pars. If I've said anything, which I'm not going to, especially if it's on camera, one, I apologize, and two, is fully directed towards myself entirely because I can't hear anything
like
behind me.
He's like, you know, it's like me questioning my six-year-old. What did I do?
Man, I can't hear anything that's behind me. That's not how hearing works. You can't see anything that's behind you, but you can hear things that are behind you.
Yeah, watch this.
Let's see. Woodsy, what?
Hey, Ben, how are you?
Oh, I heard that. I did. I couldn't see it, but
hey,
Ben,
how are you?
I still hear that behind me. Yes,
what
you
are
can
we
hear
bro,
things that are behind
I'm
you.
I'm the last guy. And by the way, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying he needs to watch his language.
Right.
There might be hot. I'm the last dude on the planet. What I'm saying is, it's okay. Just admit it.
I mean, you don't want the powers that be at Augusta to like shame you because you said something on camera. They get pretty.
He ain't the first one.
Feisty about it, but he's not.
No,
he's not.
Just just own it.
He got owned in the Ryder Cup as captain.
Well,
he has not worn that well since then. It's
not.
Been a tough year for Zach Johnson.
Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll show a little grace then. Oh. Hey, I'm the first guy. I've told myself to F off on a golf course so many times, make your head spin.
I think you like this for a do this.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Even though it's from the world of basketball. Yesterday was the last day of the regular season. Lots of important games yesterday, including the Lakers beating the Pelicans to clinch the 8th seed in the play-in tournament. And they'll play the Pelicans again tomorrow for the right to get the 7th seed. But there weren't some less important games. The Houston Rockets, for instance, weren't going to make the playoffs, but they played the Clippers in their final game. And with 4:44 remaining in the fourth quarter, the Rockets were up pretty big. And center Boban Marjanovic, who is he's created a really nice little subculture for himself, doing ads and everything. You've seen Boban on the commercials.
Yeah.
He's very likable. So he's fouled and goes to the free throw line. Now he's a big guy, but he's a pretty good free throw shooter. Career like 76%. Misses the first one. So this is a Crypto.com arena. The Clippers run a promo in which attending fans get free chicken if the opposing player misses two free throws in a row. It's like an incentive to try to distract the other team.
I like chicken.
So apparently, Boban knew this and knew the game didn't mean anything. So he goes over there. He hears everyone like getting excited and cheering.
No, he didn't.
And before the second free throw, he looks around. He points at everyone like, you ready for it?
They're going
and
nuts.
Just absolutely throws a complete break on purpose.
And then he just points to everybody.
And points
to everyone.
Chicken
erupted.
For everybody. The crowd went crazy for Boban.
There's somebody that had a problem with that.
I know.
Sure. I there is.
I did not.
We need to stick to the integrity of the game. That is as fun as sports can get is that moment right there.
And
that's
everyone
phenomenal.
Won free Chick-fil-A at the Clippers game. Even on a Sunday, you can win free Chick-fil-A at a Clippers game. Thanks to Boban and thanks to our Doo Doo This.
Hang on. Here's the audio.
Oh, you got some audio.
Start getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man. Free chicken on the board. I got you.
That's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's There's your chicken.
Oh, he gave him chicken.
Come on. That's amazing.
He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
That is so badass.
Amazing. I'm glad you remembered that. I forgot already from the weekend. That was fantastic.
That's pretty good.
That's badass.
Let's don't and do this for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, in-season Sammy was at Dodger Stadium in the beast of the belly, as I like to say. We will talk with Sam Levitt when we come back with more Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Our next guest had to do a lot of rain delay theater over the weekend.
Felt so bad. I almost called in for you, Sammy, but
rarely,
I didn't.
You rarely see back-to-back rain delays in Southern California. First one was long, 2 hours and 15 minutes on Saturday. And then only like 30, 35 minutes yesterday. We will talk with Sam Levitt, Padres pre- and post-game show host, right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So remember, Sam Levitt was supposed to call that the prospect breakout game and didn't end up happening because of the rain. Well, he finally got to do some play-by-play this weekend. Sammy Levitt now, the TARP play-by-play guy for the San Diego Padres, calling the unrolling and re-rolling of multiple tarps at Dodger Stadium, joins us right now on 97.3 The Fan for his weekly visit. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. Yes, I was all over the TARP play-by-play. I was just lucky enough where I was on the air live while the TARP was coming off both days, and even yesterday I got into a little, stretching play-by-play and, grounds crew work play-by-play, so we had a few minutes to spare, and it was fun. I don't know what's going on. I come to Southern California, and all of a sudden we've got tons of rain, and it's been a long time since they've had rain delays like this in L.A. this past weekend. So just our luck. But, hey, good news is that, you know, whether it was at Petco Park that opening weekend or this weekend in L.A., we've been able to get all these games in. So it's not that big of a deal, a little rain delay theater for me.
Nothing worse than having to vamp, though, for like a couple of somebody's like, Sammy.
It's better than what Padres TV put on in the rain delay.
In which was the world.
A great show on the opening of Petco Park from 20 years ago.
Bro, there's some guy. Who was it? Was on there? I don't want to just. I don't know.
It was actually Michelle Beadle hosted the show.
And who was the guy with her?
He was the Bill Swank. He's the local baseball historian.
Okay. Well, this is 20 years ago.
I mean,
he's like, here's Qualcomm.
Interviews with current SDSU baseball coach Tony Gwynn. And
oh, my God, dude.
The most dated programming you could imagine.
Group Dog, hit me up. Just throw Ben and Woods live stream on there. Yeah. Like, for free. Just throw it up there. Like, just throw up an old show. I mean, it was bad. But Sammy, you crushed it. It's funny, man, with those rain delays.
Yeah, Brian Giles like throwing shade at how deep this
is. Oh my God, man. It's like the Wayback Machine. But Sammy, it's funny, we were talking about it. The most impressive pitching performance of the weekend came in the only L that we took, and that was Matt Waldron on Saturday. And you probably did the same thing, but people were tweeting, how does a knuckleball affect the rain? I'm on my computer Googling like, oh, God, this doesn't look good for Matt Waldron. He looked fantastic, man. He really did. Holding that lineup to his final line was fantastic work from him.
Yeah, and by the way, before I get to Waldron, thank goodness for the Padres Roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza, because that took up a good chunk of the rain delay on Saturday, so you guys were doing some overtime. You didn't even know it. To the pitching. Look, Matt Waldron, obviously, I thought, Woodsy, I'm with you. I thought he was really solid on Saturday and found an ability to work in and out of trouble. And I think anytime you're facing this Dodger lineup and you look at the final line from your number five starter and it's five innings, one run given up, you'll take that from Matt Waldron, against this Dodger lineup on the road. He had never pitched in L.A., never faced the Dodgers before. So considering all that, the rain delay, the weather, all of it, yeah, you'll take that. And I think that was a big storyline from the weekend, was the pitching in general. Obviously, Michael King on Friday night gives up the early runs, but I think it's important to remember he was able to settle in scoreless innings in the fourth and the fifth. And then how about the bullpen? I mean, the bullpen – on Friday night, six scoreless innings. They gave up one hit as the Padres made the comeback in that game. One hit in six scoreless innings. And I thought, and I talked about it a lot in the post game late on Friday night, I thought Mike Schilt did an excellent job with the bullpen on Friday night. He was aggressive the way he went to Cosgrove to face the top of the Dodger lineup in late in that game, then the way he went to Suarez in the 10th inning. Like, there was an aggressiveness to Mike Schilt, the way he managed that bullpen on Friday night, and it worked to perfection. He pushed every right button. So I thought the bullpen management on Friday was a huge part of that win, and obviously the way they performed. And then yesterday getting the four scoreless innings out of the pen. I mean, you look at the pitching from this weekend. I mean, aside from the trouble that Cosgrove ran into in the sixth inning on Saturday, I mean, the bullpen work was really, really good. And we can talk about the offense and Tatis's home run and what Jackson Merrill did. And, you know, obviously all the different elements and Profar's double yesterday, all of it a big part of this weekend. But I do think the bullpen deserves a lot of credit for what they did. I don't know if the Padres win this game without the bullpen and how they perform for the most part and doing it against this lineup. I mean, that's the thing about the Dodger lineup right now is they hit you quickly, right? We saw it a couple of times in this series. It happens fast when they get it going and they get some of the big guys at the top of that lineup, you know, really cooking. So they did a great job, and obviously it was a really good weekend. And I thought the bullpen and the pitching did deserve some credit for keeping those games close. And then once the Padres tied them and took the leads, they were great out of the pen.
Talking to Sam Leffett, and I do want to ask you about Jerickson Profar, because you got to talk to him both before and after the game yesterday. And Jerickson, being the pro that he is, kind of downplayed the comments from Will Smith, you know, saying he's irrelevant. But you talked to him up close. What was your sense of the kind of the subtext of Jerickson's big moment in the game yesterday?
Well, I thought it was for Padres fans and the Padres team and Jerickson. Obviously, I thought it was a pretty cool moment, right? When you can come out 24 hours after that gets said on Dodgers radio and then do what he did and have that kind of moment. And whether we want to talk about the wins on Monday or Friday or Sunday, look, this team showed a ton of fight and they showed you something throughout this week. I think you have to be really, really happy with the identity they have so far. We did a lot of talking about that in spring training, right? The word identity, what this team would look like, how they would play, how it would feel different than last year. And look, you're 9-9. They've got a ways to go still, a long way to go this season, but there's no doubt about it. It feels different. As far as Jerickson Profar, you know, I at the end of my post game yesterday, I brought up Smith's comments. I wanted to give Jerickson an opportunity to, you know, I don't know if respond is the right word, but to say whatever he wanted, right? As I sort of brought it up, and you know, he essentially said, you know, he's not a media talker, and it's not him to say anything in the media. And you know, the way I took it was, hey, I'm going to do my talking with my bat. And you know, Will Smith had said that comment to the media, you know, the day before, and you know, I don't know what was said at home plate on Saturday, but I kind of took it as, you know, Jerickson wasn't gonna talk in that way to somebody like me, you know, to get his message out, and he'll either do that with his bat, and look, will this carry over into future meetings with the Dodgers? I don't know, but you know, credit to Jerickson, you know, he didn't want to stir the pot anymore. I totally get it, and to his talking with what he did on the field, and obviously, look, the comment with Smith, just my opinion. I mean, you know, Jerickson Profar is not irrelevant. I mean, as Manny talked about in the clubhouse yesterday, as Mike Schilt talked about, number one, he's very relevant to this Padres team for what he means. And, you know, inside that clubhouse, as we know, the impact he has, and he's played great so far this year. And, you know, 10 years in the major leagues, there's a very small number of baseball players that can say they've done that. So I thought it was a silly comment, but I give Jerickson credit. I thought it was pretty clear to me that, you know, he didn't want to stir the pot anymore, and I totally understood it, but I did bring it up towards the end of my post game because I wanted to give him the opportunity to say anything if he wanted to say it.
I loved it. Loved every second of it. I loved the pettiness. And seems that Dave Roberts kind of got all this going the other night, running out and telling the umpires, man, he's standing in the wrong spot. He can't stand there. Keep an eye on him. Move him. Do whatever you have to do. Manny comes out, responds with a bomb, looks into the dugout. I love it, man. This team did not play with any of that last year. And, I think you don't ever want to poke the tiger. And that's exactly what happened. It's been really nice to see Manny come around with the bat in the last seven games, hitting a nice .345, Ben, .387 OBP, slugging .586. That's the Manny Machado we know and love, and he's really starting to swing it much better. And is hopefully, Sammy, as soon as he gets back on the field, we'll be able to contribute with the glove as well, because we desperately miss his glove out there. What are you hearing? What does your gut tell you when he might be back playing some third?
I think it's a very fluid situation. I think it's very much about how Manny feels, how that arm feels. And look, I think when he gets back on the field, it's not going to be a situation where he's playing third base every day away, right? This is going to be a situation where he plays third, maybe the next day DHs. There is going to be some level of easing him back, but obviously the first goal is to get him back at third base to begin with. I mean, he was out at Dodger Stadium taking ground balls and doing some throwing throughout the weekend. But it continues to be, I think, a pretty fluid situation based on how he feels day to day, how this throwing progression is going. But also, I don't think they want a situation at all where you throw him out there and he's not ready to be out there. Yeah. And look, I think they are trying to follow a little bit of a program here because, again, I do know when he gets out there, it's still going to be an ease-in process, right? And look, that's interesting to note because once Manny's playing third base every day, then the question of who your DH is every day now becomes a key question with lineup. So, look, Mike Schilt called it a loose goal, quote-unquote, that was about a week and a half ago, that he could play third base by the end of April. The sense I continue to get is he's working his way back. I don't think there's any timetable or set date or anything like that, but he's working his way back, and I think they are being very, very cautious with not rushing this and making sure when he gets out there that he's in a spot where he can, withstand the rigors that come with playing third base every day. But I do think even when he gets out there, I think it's still going to be sort of an ease-in process. So they're being cautious, and I totally get it, but he's working his way back. But there is no set date, and I don't think there is a timetable of it's this amount of weeks and it's going to be on this date. I don't think that's what the situation is. To me, it's fluid based on how Manny feels and what continues to happen.
Sammy, do you stay up there or do you commute back after every game?
Oh no, I stay at my brother's.
Oh,
he lives.
Okay.
He lives in West Hollywood. So yes, the folks at Odyssey are kind enough to let me go up there, and love being at the ballpark. And
sure.
I think
they're kind enough to let you go up there and stay for free.
For free on your own dime.
Well, yes. Well, that's part of the
very generous.
part of the attraction is that my brother does happen to live up there, which is great.
Yes.
Has a nice apartment in West Hollywood, so it's all good, and it's like a 25-minute drive to the ballpark, so that's not bad. I've always done it because I love being at the ballpark. I think it makes for a much better show when I can be inside the clubhouse and, talk to Manny and put him on the pregame show on Friday and then have our postgame interviews with Merrill and Profar and all the different things we were able to do. So it is well worth the trip for me, and I enjoy it. I love being on the road. I miss it from the minor leagues. I loved going to the road ballparks and experiencing the cities. And do not worry, I will be back in the studio at 3:40 this afternoon.
Attaboy.
Please tell me that we at least cover your gas money
and
getting
food
up and back or something.
Yes.
Anything?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No, the mileage.
You hear Odyssey cutting his phone out right now. That's all on purpose. Sammy, we're losing you.
Yeah, they're doing that on purpose.
And by the way, just one more note on the weekend, just because I said his name. How about Jackson Merrill?
He's unbelievable. Yeah.
Just, I I've been so impressed, and I know everybody has, but for him to show up and take the job at a spring training and just take it all and run with it at 20, you know, what he says to me inside the clubhouse and just the professionalism, the team nature, and the performance, the quality of at bat. He's just putting the ball in play.
Love it.
I mean,
couldn't be happier.
And center field. I mean, he never played center field before spring training. I mean, it's just, and again, it's like, I know it's like everybody's saying I'm not breaking any news to anybody, but man, to watch this kid play, it's been really impressive. He's more than held his own on both ends.
That's Sam Levitt.
Thank you,
buddy. We got to run. Enjoy your day off. Oh, no, wait. Pregame show at 3:40 today. Eco Water SoCal pregame show. Thanks, Sammy.
All right. See you guys.
No days off for Sam Levitt. We'll talk about the upcoming series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindler Report as well. Final hour of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Our next guest had to do a lot of rain delay theater over the weekend.
I felt so bad. I almost called in for you, Sammy, but
rarely,
I didn't.
You rarely see back-to-back rain delays in Southern California. First one was long, 2 hours and 15 minutes on Saturday. And then only like 30, 35 minutes yesterday. We will talk with Sam Levitt, Padres pre- and post-game show host, right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So remember, Sam Levitt was supposed to call that the prospect breakout game and didn't end up happening because of the rain. Well, he finally got to do some play-by-play this weekend. Sammy Levitt now, the TARP play-by-play guy for the San Diego Padres, calling the unrolling and re-rolling of multiple tarps at Dodger Stadium, joins us right now on 97.3 The Fan for his weekly visit. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. Yes, I was all over the TARP play-by-play. I was just lucky enough where I was on the air live while the TARP was coming off both days, and even yesterday I got into a little stretching play-by-play and grounds crew work play-by-play, so we had a few minutes to spare, and it was fun. I don't know what's going on. I come to Southern California and all of a sudden we've got tons of rain, and it's been a long time since they've had rain delays like this in L.A. this past weekend. So just our luck. But, hey, good news is that, you know, whether it was at Petco Park that opening weekend or this weekend in L.A., we've been able to get all these games in. So it's not that big of a deal, a little rain delay theater for me.
Nothing worse than having to vamp, though, for like a couple of somebody's like, Sammy.
It's better than what Padres TV put on in the rain delay.
In
which was
the world.
A great show on the opening of Petco Park from 20 years
Bro,
ago.
Bro, this some guy, who was it? Who was on there? I don't want to just, I don't know.
It was actually Michelle Beadle hosted
and
the show.
And who was the guy with her? With
it
the
was,
beard?
He was the Bill Swank. He's the local baseball historian.
Okay, well, this is 20 years ago.
I mean,
he's like, here's Qualcomm.
Interviews with current SDSU baseball coach Tony Gwynn. And
oh, my God, dude.
The most dated programming you could imagine.
Group Dog, hit me up. Just throw Ben and Wood's live stream on there.
Yeah.
Like, for free. Just throw it up there. Like, just throw up an old show. I mean, it was bad. But Sammy, you crushed it. You know, it's funny, man, with those rain delays.
Yeah, Brian Giles like throwing shade at how deep
Yes. Oh my God, man! It's like the Wayback Machine. But Sammy, you know, it's funny. We were talking about it. The most impressive pitching performance of the weekend came in the only L that we took, and that was Matt Waldron on Saturday. And
yeah.
You probably did the same thing, but people were tweeting, how does a knuckleball affect the rain? I'm on my computer Googling like, oh, God, this doesn't look good for Matt Waldron. He looked fantastic, man. He really did. Holding that lineup to his final line was fantastic work from him.
Yeah, and by the way, before I get to Waldron, thank goodness for the Padres Roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza, because that took up a good chunk of the rain delay on Saturday, so you guys were doing some overtime. You didn't even know it. But, yeah, to the pitching. Look, Matt Waldron, obviously, I thought, Woodsy, I'm with you. I thought he was really solid on Saturday and you know, found an ability to work in and out of trouble. And I think anytime you're facing this Dodger lineup and you look at the final line from your number five starter and it's five innings one run given up. You'll take that from Matt Waldron,
especially
against this Dodger lineup on the road. He had never pitched in L.A., never faced the Dodgers before. So considering all that, the rain delay, the weather, all of it, yeah, you'll take that. And I think that was a big storyline from the weekend was the pitching in general. Obviously, Michael King on Friday night gives up the early runs, but I think it's important to remember he was able to settle in scoreless innings in the fourth and the fifth. And then how about the bullpen? I mean, the bullpen on Friday night, six scoreless innings. They gave up one hit as the Padres made the comeback in that game. One hit in six scoreless innings. And I thought, and I talked about it a lot in the post game late on Friday night, I thought Mike Schilt did an excellent job with the bullpen on Friday night. He was aggressive the way he went to Cosgrove to face the top of the Dodger lineup in late in that game, then the way he went to Suarez in the 10th inning. Like, there was an aggressiveness to Mike Schilt, the way he managed that bullpen on Friday night, and it worked to perfection. He pushed every right button. So I thought the bullpen management on Friday was a huge part of that win, and obviously the way they performed. And then yesterday getting the four scoreless innings out of the pen. I mean, you look at the pitching from this weekend. I mean, aside from the trouble that Cosgrove ran into in the sixth inning on Saturday, I mean, the bullpen work was really, really good. And we can talk about the offense and Tatis's home run and what Jackson Merrill did. And, you know, obviously all the different elements and Profar's double yesterday, all of it a big part of this weekend. But I do think the bullpen deserves a lot of credit for what they did. I don't know if the Padres win this game without the bullpen and how they perform for the most part and doing it against this lineup. I mean, that's the thing about the Dodger lineup right now is they hit you quickly, right? We saw it a couple of times in this series. It happens fast when they get it going and they get some of the big guys at the top of that lineup, you know, really cooking. So they did a great job, and obviously it was a really good weekend. And I thought the bullpen and the pitching did deserve some credit for keeping those games close. And then once the Padres tied them and took the leads, they were great out of the pen.
Talking to Sam Leffett, and I do want to ask you about Jerickson Profar, because you got to talk to him both before and after the game yesterday. And Jerickson, being the pro that he is, kind of downplayed the comments from Will Smith, you know, saying he's irrelevant. But you talked to him up close. What was your sense of the kind of the subtext of Jerickson's big moment in the game yesterday?
Well, I thought it was for Padres fans and the Padres team and Jerickson. Obviously, I thought it was a pretty cool moment, right? When you can come out 24 hours after that gets said on Dodgers radio and then do what he did and have that kind of moment. And whether we want to talk about the wins on Monday or Friday or Sunday, look, this team showed a ton of fight. And they showed you something throughout this week. I think you have to be really, really happy with the identity they have so far. We did a lot of talking about that in spring training, right? The word identity, what this team would look like, how they would play, how it would feel different than last year. And look, you're 9-9. They've got a ways to go still, a long way to go this season. But there's no doubt about it. It feels different. As far as Jerickson Profar, you know, at the end of my post game yesterday, I brought up Smith's comments. I wanted to give Jerickson an opportunity to, you know, I don't know if respond is the right word, but to say whatever he wanted, right? As I sort of brought it up, and you know, he essentially said, you know, he's not a media talker, and it's not him to say anything in the media. And you know, the way I took it was, hey, I'm going to do my talking with my bat. And you know, Will Smith had said that comment to the media, you know, the day before, and you know, I don't know what was said at home plate on Saturday, but I kind of took it as you know, Jerickson wasn't gonna talk in that way to somebody like me, you know, to get his message out, and he'll either do that with his bat, and look, will this carry over into future meetings with the Dodgers? I don't know, but you know, credit to Jerickson. You know, he didn't want to stir the pot anymore. I totally get it. And to his talking with what he did on the field. And obviously, look, the comment with Smith, just my opinion. I mean, you know, Jerickson Profar is not irrelevant. I mean, as Manny talked about in the clubhouse yesterday, as Mike Schilt talked about, number one, he's very relevant to this Padres team for what he means. And, you know, inside that clubhouse, as we know, the impact he has, and he's played great so far this year. And, you know, 10 years in the major leagues, there's a very small number of baseball players that can say they've done that. So I thought it was a silly comment. But I give Jerickson credit. I thought it was pretty clear to me that, you know, he didn't want to stir the pot anymore, and I totally understood it. But, I did bring it up towards the end of my post game because I wanted to give him the opportunity to say anything if he wanted to say it.
I loved it. Loved every second of it. I loved the pettiness. And seems that Dave Roberts kind of got all this going the other night, running out and telling the umpires, man, he's standing in the wrong spot. He can't stand there. Keep an eye on him. Move him. Do whatever you have to do. Manny comes out, responds with a bomb, looks into the dugout. I love it, man. This team did not play with any of that last year. And, you know, I think you don't ever want to poke the tiger. And that's exactly what happened. It's been really nice to see Manny come around with the bat in the last seven games, hitting a nice .345, Ben, .387 OBP, slugging .586. That's the Manny Machado we know and love, and he's really starting to swing it much better. And is hopefully, Sammy, as soon as he gets back on the field, you know, we'll be able to contribute with the glove as well, because we desperately miss, you know, his glove out there. What are you hearing? What does your gut tell you when he might be back playing some third?
I think it's a very fluid situation. I think it's very much about how Manny feels, how that arm feels. And look, I think when he gets back on the field, it's not going to be a situation where he's playing third base every day away, right? This is going to be a situation where he plays third, maybe the next day DHs. There is going to be some level of easing him back, but obviously the first goal is to get him back at third base to begin with. I mean, he was out at Dodger Stadium taking ground balls and doing some throwing throughout the weekend. But it continues to be, I think, a pretty fluid situation based on how he feels day to day, how this throwing progression is going. But also, I don't think they want a situation at all where you throw him out there and he's not ready to be out there. Yeah. And look, I think they are trying to follow a little bit of a program here because, again, I do know when he gets out there, it's still going to be an ease-in process, right? And look, that's interesting to note because once Manny's playing third base every day, then the question of who your DH is every day now becomes a key question with lineup. So, look, Mike Schilt called it a loose goal, quote-unquote, that was about a week and a half ago, that he could play third base by the end of April. The sense I continue to get is he's working his way back. I don't think there's any timetable or set date or anything like that, but he's working his way back, and I think they are being very, very cautious with not rushing this and making sure when he gets out there that he's in a spot where he can, you know, withstand the rigors that come with playing third base every day. But I do think even when he gets out there, I think it's still going to be sort of an ease-in process. So they're being cautious, and I totally get it, but he's working his way back. But there is no set date, and I don't think there is a timetable of it's this amount of weeks and it's going to be on this date. I don't think that's what the situation is. To me, it's fluid based on how Manny feels and what continues to happen.
Sammy, do you stay up there or do you commute back after every game?
Oh no, I stay at my brother's.
Oh,
he lives in West Hollywood. So yes, the folks at Odyssey are kind enough to let me go up there, and love being at the ballpark. And
sure. They're kind enough to let you go up there and stay for free
on your own dime.
Well, yes. Well, that's part of the attraction is that my brother does happen to live up there, which is great.
Yes.
Has a nice apartment in West Hollywood, so it's all good, and it's like a 25-minute drive to the ballpark, so that's not bad. I've always done it because I love being at the ballpark. I think it makes for a much better show when I can be inside the clubhouse and, you know, talk to Manny and put him on the pregame show on Friday and then have our postgame interviews with Merrill and Profar and all the different things we were able to do. So it is it is well worth the trip for me, and I enjoy it. I love being on the road. I miss it from the minor leagues. I loved going to the road ballparks and experiencing the cities, and do not worry, I will be back in the studio at 3:40 this afternoon.
Attaboy.
Please tell me that we at least cover your gas money and getting food. Up and back or something,
yes.
Anything?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No, the mileage.
You hear Odyssey cutting his phone out right now. That's all on purpose. Sammy, we're losing you.
Yeah, they're doing that on purpose.
And by the way, just one more note on the weekend, just because I said his name, how about Jackson Merrill?
He's unbelievable.
I've been so impressed, and I know everybody has, but for him to show up and take the job at a spring training, just take it all and run with it at 20, you know, what he says to me inside the clubhouse and just the professionalism, the team nature, and the performance, the quality of at bat. He's just putting the ball in play.
Love it.
I mean,
couldn't be happier.
And center field. I mean, he never played center field before spring training. I mean, it's just, and again, it's like, I know it's like everybody's saying, I'm not breaking any news to anybody, but man, to watch this kid play, it's been really impressive. He's more than held his own on both ends.
That's Sam Levitt.
Thank you,
buddy. We got to run. Enjoy your day off. Oh, no, wait. Pregame show at 3:40 today. Eco Water SoCal pregame show. Thanks, Sammy.
All right. See you guys.
No days off for Sam Levitt. We'll talk about the upcoming series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindler Report as well. Final hour of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.